Ragnarok's eyes. He still wore remnants of his ancient armor, thambraces and pauldrons in blue, gold, and green, and marked with the symbol of the three-headed Hydra, the mark of the long-disbanded Alpha Legion. But they no longer served as anything but hollow reminders of his once great heritage. Behind Mazik, a bubbling vat of green, viscous fluid burbled in the center of the room, from which a series of fat pipes trailed, siphoning the stuff into squat round pods, tended by a twisted mechanicus creature that was more machine than man. They contained what appeared to be hulking bodies, their pale flesh glistening and wet. Three of these creatures flanked Mazik's throne, and Queld realized with disgust that each of them bore a familial resemblance to their master, despite one of them carrying a third arm, another twin heads, and the third a set of insect-like pincers which erupted from its shoulders. These, he presumed, were the result of whatever vile experiments Mazik was carrying out with the pods. Mazik looked up and grinned.
Welcome, Shadow Masters. It is a true honor to have the children of Korax himself come to bear witness to his legacy, to become a part of that legacy. I said it's what he would have wanted.
Do not presume to speak that name.
Mazik slowly prized himself from his throne, and as he stood, the thing moaned. It was another of his grotesque creations, a living creature so malformed that it was barely recognizable as living at all, its only purpose to serve his fleshy mass. Worse, it too appeared to bear some relation to his own disgusting form. Mazik gestured to the three creatures behind him.
These are my Gel. They were created in Korax's honor as a tribute to his magnificent work. I seek to complete what he started, to forge an army of Gels in my image, crafted from my own imperfect genes.
They are abominations, and we will put them down.
You will join with them here in my spire. Just as Korax once did before me, I shall set to work. I will harvest your gene seed and meld them with my own. I shall raise a new legion of Gels, and with your help, they shall pass unheeded through the shadows, just as you have passed through each of my trials. Don't you see? I erected this entire edifice, waged this entire war for you.
We shall play no part in your grotesque games, other than to end them!
Queld fired. Hot rounds spat from the muzzle, peppering Mazik, causing him to stagger back into his fleshy throne. The exploding shells burst sickening holes in his flank, but as quick as they formed, the wounds began to close, as if the syrupy flesh had simply absorbed the shock of the onslaught.
Foolish creature! So full of righteous zeal, so blinded by your faith in your false emperor. Understand this. I do not need you alive for my process to work.
Mazik reared up, and his guild charged, thundering across the cavern towards the Raven Guard. Queld ghosted left, keeping Mazik in his sights, as Illith and Arteryx went right, engaging the Geld. Mordron rushed forward, leaping into the air, his sword wheeling in a wide arc that connected heavily with Mazik's arm as he spun to try to fend Mordron off.
Die, fiend!
The limb parted from Mazik's torso with a grotesque sucking pop and slopped to the ground, where it seemed to lose all cohesion, degenerating into a puddle of wretched slime.
You shall shall pay for that, primitive scum!
Mazik threshed out with his other arm, catching Mordrin hard across the side of the head. Thrown bodily from his feet, Mordrin slammed into the nearby wall, struck his head against the crystalline rock, and slumped to the ground, his sword tumbling from his grasp. Mazik spun, searching for Queld.
Come now, Shadow Master. No need to be coy.
Mazik's flesh rippled, flowing across his body as two new limbs sprung, hydra-like, from the stump of his shoulder. He flexed, making fists, testing their strength.
For Korax!
Queld burst from the cover of the shadows, unleashing a hail of Voltafire into Mazik's face, striding forward until a moment later, his head had been almost entirely obliterated. Queld stood for a moment, his bolter smoking, waiting to see if the creature was dead. Instead, however, Mazik's flesh began to ripple once again as the head reformed. And too late, Queld realized that the twin-headed Geld had broken free from the battle with Illith and Arteryx and had lumbered up behind him while he'd been otherwise engaged. He twisted, attempting to sidestep, but the thing was too fast, and a thunderous punch to the chest sent Queld reeling backwards, crashing into one of the growth pots, severing one of the pipes and spilling the foul-smelling liquid across the floor. He scrabbled to his feet, his bolter lost across the other side of the cavern. He circled around behind the pod as the Geld lurched closer, trying to buy enough time to consider his next move. Inside the pod, the creature stirred. A quick glance told him it had originally been one of the cultists, but the green liquid had been somehow mutating it, causing its flesh to bubble as its genes were corrupted and rewritten to mirror Mazik's own. And to think, he'd done it all in the name of Korax. Queld would ensure the vile thing died. Nothing else but that.
Arteryx!
Illith and Arteryx were still desperately battling the other two Geld. Arteryx was wounded, down on one knee, and Illith's twin combat blades were flashing frantically as he attempted to hold both of them off.
Victory out, Mortis, brother!
Mazik was lumbering closer, intent on forming a pincer movement with the Geld to trap the Shadow Captain behind the growth pod. Queld drew his combat knife. He was running out of options. If Mordrin's sword had proved ineffective against Mazik, his own blade would barely leave a scratch. The Geld seemed somewhat less malleable than Mazik himself, judging by the wounds Illith had managed to inflict. But Mazik was the only real target. Queld was beginning to think that the only option was to deploy a crack grenade, to trigger the device and hurl himself at Mazik, hoping that the ensuing explosion would disperse his bulk enough to prevent his rippling flesh from reforming. But first, he had to deal with the Geld.
Let us finish this!
It swiped at Queld with its massive fist, and he ducked low and left, then came up with his blade flashing, scoring a deep groove across its chest. It howled and staggered back a pace, before lurching forward again, taking another swipe. This time, it caught Queld in the shoulder, the force of the blow sending him spinning to the ground. He rolled, only to strike the wall, sloshing in a puddle of the green liquid that was still being piped through the end of the severed cable. He looked up to see the Geld looming over him, fists clasped, both arms raised above its head. There was nowhere left to go. He was pinned against the wall. He looked up at the thing's twisted grimace, just as its head separated into two, cleaved apart by Mordrin's humming blade. It wavered on the spot for a moment, and then pitched sideways, slamming into another of the growth pods and spilling the grotesque bundle of flesh inside.
Aye, brother! Let us finish this now!
Queld caught Mordrin's eye, and a moment of understanding seemed to pass between them, before Mazik rounded on Mordrin, slamming him so brutally in the chest that his armor cracked.
And still you live! Your gene seed will prove most satisfactory!
Mordrin dropped to one knee, groaning in pain, as Mazik closed on him again, his thick fingers circling Mordrin's throat as he hoisted him into the air.
Once you are dead!
Queld saw his chance. He took it. He lurched forward, snatching up the severed pipe as he slammed into Mazik, thrusting his fist deep into the pliable flesh of the traitor's belly. Mazik grimaced, releasing Mordrin, who nevertheless retained his grip on Mazik's arm, preventing him from turning to fend off Queld.
Face me! I will look in your eyes as you die!
Mazik scrabbled, attempting to pull away, but Queld held firm, his fist buried deep inside the traitor's guts, clutching the end of the pipe as it discharged more and more of the green, mutating fluid into Mazik's body.
No! The beauty of my work! Can you not see it?
Mazik swung his fist, pounding the side of Queld's head again and again and again. Queld felt warm blood trickling down the back of his neck. Everything was limned and black. Yet still he held on, pushing the pipe deeper, deeper, until suddenly the pounding relented.
I see only the madness of a traitor writ large. I see only death.
Stinging lights were dancing before Quill's eyes. He staggered back, releasing his grip on the pipe, sliding his hand out of the sickening mulch of Mazik's torso. The mutating fluid had done its work, malforming Mazik's already grotesque body until he could no longer maintain cohesion. Mazik's left pauldron slid off, taking a slurry of his upper torso with it. What remained of his belly was dribbling down his legs, and his face was slowly sloughing away as he screamed, revealing a yellowed skull beneath. Within moments, he'd slid into a slowly mouldering heap of jellied flesh and muscle, littered with the pieces of his ancient armor. Dizzy, and no longer able to support his own weight, Queld tumbled to the ground with a thud. Everything went black. Queld came to with a start. A cold breeze riffled his hair. He jerked up, reaching for his bolter. But another's hand stayed his own. His head hurt, and one of his eyes was gummed shut with blood. He twisted to see Mordrin. He too was wounded, his chest plate cracked, dry blood caked across the side of his head, matted in his stark white hair. They were outside, their backs against the craggy mountainside. All around them the battle still raged, but now the forces of the Raven Guard were pouring into the mountain fortress, and the sky was alight with the burning trails of pitching Heldrakes. He'd been unconscious for some time.
You saved my life. You have my thanks.
Queld eyed him warily.
Likewise.
They sat for a moment in silence.
Illith and Arteryx?
Inside the fortress, guiding Corin's forces.
Queld nodded. Then they had all survived. Further down the mountainside, a growing force of cultists had clambered out of a crevasse in the rock face and was escaping the carnage above, skittering over the rocks. Queld felt Mordrin stir.
Are you thinking what I am thinking?
Queld grinned. He reached for his weapon, slowly getting to his feet.
Aye. Brother. I believe I am.
For Korax.
For Korax.
Soulbound by George Mann. Performed by John Banks, Tim Bentinck, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, Matthew Hunt, and Toby Longworth.
I sense your unease, Queld. What troubles you?
Nothing, Chapter Master.
It is the womb. I see that it still festers.
It is a mere scratch.
And yet it suppurates and refuses to heal. I have seen such wounds before, the foul work of an accursed blade. You must remain as strong in spirit, brother, as you are in body, if you are to overcome its diabolic infection.
I remain steadfast. I am ready to do my duty.
Aye. I see that you are.
Then, might I ask, Chapter Master, for what purpose have you summoned me here? To deliverance?
I wish to hear of Delafron, and what transpired during the mission.
The mission report, was it inadequate?
No. Yet I remain ill at ease, Quelb. The fragments of the message you recovered, they must be given due consideration. They speak of other hands at play. I seek to understand their role in what occurred, and what might yet occur.
Then I shall strive to provide what enlightenment I am able. Where would you have me begin?
Where all such tales begin. Here, in the Ravenspire.
I presume you have heard the reports from the Pardemeron sector, brothers. With the heretic Mazik dispatched, the Fourth Company have regained control of the entire sector. The traitors scuttle for cover, back to their foul nests.
Aye, Quelt. Yet the war rages on. My own company remains under siege from the gibbering filth that crawls like an endless tide from the dark corners of the warp. I fear I am required to lead them against such horrors.
Illith is right. Out amongst the Carrion Stars, the Knights of the Raven face a mutant cult of growing strength and guile. They must be suppressed.
I too leave my company in the midst of war, Mordrin. We lay siege to Quo Morris, where the Greenskins gather their forces. These are troubled times. Our enemies grow more desperate and more dangerous still.
In this you are right, Quelk.
Chapter Master.
Now more than ever you are needed, all of you. Word has reached deliverance of a message of grave import to our chapter. It has fallen into the hands of an interrogator in the service of an inquisitor of the Ordo Hereticus. The interrogator travels across the wastes of Delafron aboard an enormous mag train that circumnavigates the globe. If he were to reach his destination...
Then the inquisitor would be in possession of whatever is contained in the message.
Indeed. I should keep the contents of that message from all ears but my own.
To act against the Ordo Hereticus, is that, in itself, not an act of heresy?
An eventuality that cannot come to pass.
Then what would you have us do?
Infiltrate the mag train and extract the message. Do not spill the blood of the interrogator. Do not even be seen. We must offer this inquisitor no doubt as to our motives. We are righteous in the eyes of the Emperor. We must remain above reproach.
And what of our brothers and the conflicts they engage in? We have been recalled from battle to seek a message?
The contents of which might shake the very foundations of our chapter. You must succeed.
Then our path is clear. We set out for Delafron within the hour.
May Korax guide your hand.
Whispering, the unsilent void, the alabaster darkness teeming with life, the black-eyed smile, and promises, 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 nothing but death. Whispering, whispering.
Inquisitor Sabathiel.
Bledheim. What is your status?
Everything proceeds according to plan, my lord. I have boarded the mag train with our guest.
Is that him, gibbering on in the background?
Yes, my lord.
Can't you shut him up?
I have tried sedation, but the chemicals only appear to increase the fervor of his visions. I suspect his brain has been damaged by repeated exposure to the war.
Fascinating. Well, just try and get here in one piece. The message you're carrying is valuable enough to attract the wrong kind of attention.
Understood. Bledheim out.
Whispers. Whispers. Whispers!
What do you know? What have you got swirling around inside there?
No! No! Stop it! Stop it! Stop the lights! The blinding lights! The whispers!
Never mind. We'll find out soon enough. You'll enjoy discovering the secrets of my little box.
We fell out of the sky like flints tossed into an endless sea of night. Beneath us, the mag train rocketed across the barren wastes like a silver serpent, its passage stirring vast plumes of dust in the gloaming. It was immense, a ribbon of gleaming metal, a slick river in a desert wasteland. It must have been 100 carriages long and carried 1,000 times as many civilians. Somewhere, in one of those carriages, was the message we sought.
Target acquired. Corvus formation.
Acknowledged.
Victorus aut mortis.
Victorus aut mortis.
We dipped low, riding the buffeting wind currents, circling like carrion birds as we descended, our jump packs on minimum thrust. And then the mag train was rushing up to meet us, its convex adamantium roof glinting in the moonlight.
Ready yourselves! We have only one chance at this! Waldron!
Entering final descent vector now! Compensating for cross currents.
I'm down!
Quelled!
Confirmed! And down!
Arteryx!
Aye, Shadow Captain!
I watched as Arteryx dove in, a swooping shadow, his night-black armor seeming to absorb the very light of the moon, until he was nothing but a smear of ink against the horizon, a storm cloud waiting to divest its turbulent payload. As he dove closer, I saw him twist, caught momentarily in the grip of a cross-current. He dipped low, attempting to compensate, but the current had snared him, and he swung out wide, slipping suddenly out of sight beneath the penumbra of the mag train's roof.
Arteryx!
I thundered over the rooftop, mag locking one armored boot to the train as I peered over. Arteryx was spinning out of control, caught in the mag train slipstream and slamming repeatedly against the side of the thundering vehicle.
Quelled! Fire your jump pack, maximum thrust!
Are you mad? It'll kill him! He's caught in the vehicle's magnetic pull! He'll be ripped asunder! He can't withstand the fall!
He is Raven Guard!
Arteryx, do as Quelled says!
Aye, Captain!
I shielded myself as Arteryx's jump pack ignited, dousing me in the ferocious backwash of its vents. At first, it accomplished nothing but to send Arteryx into a wild spin, and I feared I'd condemned my brother to his death beneath the tracks. But then, the jump pack did its work, suddenly prizing him free of the mag train's grip and flinging him up and out, spinning away from our position. Mordrin and I watched as Arteryx fought to regain control, and then Illith swooped in to grasp hold of his arm and steady him. Together, they descended to the roof to join us.
It seems that ravens truly can fly. By the blood of the raven! My thanks to you, Quelled, for your counsel.
Quelled, find us an entrance point. I do not wish to remain up here any longer than is necessary.
Aye, Shadow Captain.
Mordrin, check the comms chatter to ensure we are not discovered.
Aye! For Korax, brother!
So far, our luck has held. Now, we focus on the mission. Seek, locate, extract.
We entered the vehicle through a service hatch at the far end of the carriage. Ahead of us thrummed the engine itself, a massive, archaic thing, operated by a machine that even the most esoteric adept of the Mechanicus might struggle to decipher. We slid through the shadows of a storage carriage, the size of a small warehouse, ghosting between towering crates of provisions. Here, the air was rich with the scent of unfamiliar spices and mouldering, vat-grown meat, the meager subsistence of refugees and soldiers.
Advance in shadow,
as the raven hunts, brother.
Ahead of us, Illith slipped from behind a heap of crates, gesturing for Mordrin to approach the door leading to the adjoining carriage. We were operating on instinct now, maintaining a closed vox loop, intent only on achieving our mission. We would take each passenger carriage in turn, searching silently and methodically until our quarry had been located. Then, Illith would summon the Storm Raven that was presently maintaining low orbit, and we would make a swift exit. Mordrin approached the door, his fingers brushing the grip of his bolt pistol in the holster at his belt. After a moment, he turned to regard Illith, his expression sour.
Brothers, this carriage is blighted by the stench of chaos. Step aside.
Illith crossed to the door, moving silently, his combat knife clutched in his fist, peered through the viewing port in the partition, and then stepped back, shaking his head.
There are others here aboard this train. Foul creatures marred with the corruption of chaos.
Then our mission has changed.
Not yet. For now, our goal remains the same. Locate the interrogator and extract the message.
I nodded my assent and followed Mordrin as he opened the door with his shoulder, his massive blade resting easily in his fist. The stench of decay that greeted us was ripe and all-pervading. You are right, Mordrin. Something unnatural has blighted the passengers of this carriage. Most of the passengers still remained in their seats, their corpses peeling, bloating and blistering, their lips curled back from their teeth, yellowed eyes blooming with rot. Some still moved, but no longer by their own volition.
Look, they're crawling with maggots, infested, their chests rising and falling in some grotesque parody of breathing. In the name of the Emperor!
Ahead of us, scrabbling in the gangway, was the remains of a man, his torso completely decomposed beneath the waist. Even his clothes had rotted away to rags, his flesh peeling in long ribbons, so that his ribcage was exposed, revealing the faint beating of his heart within. Putrid liquid seeped from his mouth as he dragged himself towards us with skeletal fingers.
I have seen such abominations before, deep in the Sargassian Reach. They bear the foul taint of the Plague God. We may yet share the train with heretics and traitors, brothers.
Then they shall be eradicated. The carriages will run red with their spilled blood.
No. We locate our target and we get clear. Once our mission is complete, the mag train will be destroyed from orbit, traitors with it.
I saw it move.
We go now. If our enemies are aboard, they may already be alerted to our presence.
Illith's implacable gaze settled on me for a moment, and then he turned away and was gone, sliding like smoke into the shadows. I strode forward, crushing the remains of the sprawling dead underfoot as I made for the adjoining carriage.
This one is the same. It reeks of festering death. It reeks of traitors.
The carriage bore the same hallmarks as the previous one. Passengers lay heaped in abstract poses of death, their puckered flesh erupting in buboes, skin tightening around their skulls as we watched, drying and crumbling away to dust. Here, too, the lights had been damaged and flickered incessantly, casting long shadows. A large ragged hole had been chewed in the left side of the carriage, the adamantium around its edges corroded and discolored.
Be wary. Something stirs in the darkness.
I looked to where Mordrin had indicated with the muzzle of his pistol. From behind, she looked like a woman. She was standing in the gangway with her back to us, and she was slightly hunched, her shoulders drawn up to her neck as if she were hugging herself, seeking comfort or respite from the horror surrounding her. She rocked back and forth with the slow, steady motion of the train.
Wait here, brothers. Hold, Mordrin. She might yet provide us with answers about what happened here. We know what happened here, Arterix. Mark my words, she bears the taint.
In which case she shall die. But let us be certain.
Mortal, turn around. Slowly.
I raised my bolter in wariness. At first, the woman did not respond, even to acknowledge that Arterix had addressed her. My finger brushed the trigger. Something was wrong.
Then, slowly, the woman's head twitched to the side, as if she were stealing a glance over her shoulder in the flickering light, too terrified to even turn in our direction. Arteryx took a step closer.
Turn around now! Last warning!
He reached out a hand for her shoulder. The woman twisted, turning deftly on the spot. What had at first appeared as items of clothing now revealed their mimicry, as taut, leathery wings unfurled from the creature's sides, filling the width of the carriage. It rose to its full height, at least as tall as Mordrin. It was thin and skeletal, bones protruding through exposed patches of papery skin. Its hands and feet ended in sharp talons, fashioned from twisted bone, and its face leered at us. A face that had once been human, but now resembled a misshapen bat, half decayed and mouldering. It wore the tattered remains of power armor, and the ragged ruin of an ancient purity seal caused my ire to rise. This had once been a space marine in service to the Emperor, but now it was a thing twisted and reshaped by chaos into a monster.
Abomination!
It lurched forward, moving with surprising agility. I unleashed a hail of bolter rounds, collapsing the left side of its chest in a shower of brittle bone. But still, the creature came on, its talons flashing as it lashed out for Arteryx.
Get back!
Mordrin took another swing, opening a gaping mouth in the creature's belly. It staggered, emaciated guts spilling down its thighs, rank with the stench of death. It screeched, and then turned, flapping its wings as it launched itself at the ragged opening in the carriage wall. Before Mordrin could close on it again, the creature had dragged itself through the gaping breach and away into the sand-filled sky beyond.
It is a thing of weakness, a traitor. Rather than face my sword, it flees.
Creatures such as that do not operate alone. There may be more of them aboard this blighted train. What do they seek? They could not have anticipated our arrival.
I do not believe in coincidence. Might they seek the same prize as us?
Aye. It might yet prove so. Regardless, their presence here places our mission at risk. We must remain vigilant and heed the Chapter Master's words. We cannot fail!
Mordrin! Behind you!
Mordrin turned, his sword flashing, but it was too late. The raptor dove through the breach in the carriage wall, its talons sinking deep into his armor, affixing him in its grip.
Foul heretic! Unhand me!
Within seconds, it had dragged him out behind it and away into the sky.
Out of the way. Can't you see what's happening here? The Mag train is under attack.
Yes, I rather see that it is. Please excuse my companion. He's a little disturbed.
Disturbed? We're all bloody disturbed. Have you seen those things?
Creatures born of nightmare. One and all.
Well, don't just stand there, man. I need to alert the driver. And quickly. We have to stop the Mag train.
Oh, I think not. It's of far greater import that the train reaches its destination.
Are you mad? We'll all end up dead.
Oh, inevitable for us all, I fear.
Circles within circles. Death and life. Dark and light.
Indeed.
Stand aside, or I'm going to have to use force.
Oh, I don't think that will be necessary. In my experience, there's rarely need for such uncouth methods.
What? What have you done? What have you injected?
There. See? Inevitable.
The white and the black. Ravens, sing!
And so shall you, my friend. So shall you. Come now, I think it's time we found somewhere more conducive to a proper conversation, don't you? And you really must stop defacing the walls.
I ran to the breach, high above the train, twisting through the night air. Mordrin grappled with the raptor as it raked him with its claws, drawing deep furrows in his armor. I tried to draw a bead with my bolter. I loosed a series of short bursts, aiming to shred the raptor's wing, but the thing was elusive and moved too swiftly, using the billowing sand cloud as cover. The risk of hitting Mordrin was too high.
Hold still, you wretched heretic!
The raptor still clutched Mordrin from behind, pinioning him with its misshapen legs. Mordrin was thrashing, struggling to find an angle of counterattack. He'd inverted his sword in his grip, and he was stabbing back repeatedly under his left arm, attempting to skewer the creature. So far, it had evaded every thrust.
Over here! Another one!
I turned to see a second raptor burst from the sandstorm, its wings folded back as it dove towards us. The strange weapon in its talons spat gouts of corrosive acid that hissed as they struck the flank of the mag train, chewing pockmarks in the metal.
Deal with that! I'm going after Mordra!
Illith leapt deftly through the hole in the carriage wall, twisting his body as he fell towards the sandstorm. He dipped momentarily out of sight before the rumble of his igniting jump pack signaled his intent, and he rose up towards Mordrin, leaving a vortex of sand in his wake. I dove for cover and rolled as a stream of acid splashed through the wound in the mag train's flank, dousing the end wall of the carriage and causing seats, floor, and human remains alike to bubble and blister. I climbed to my feet, opening up with my bolter and shattering one of the viewing ports, catching the raptor in its leg and causing it to dip suddenly, altering its trajectory.
It's coming for you, brother!
I see it!
The creature had succeeded in arresting its dive, and now it twisted into another ascent, wings battering at the cross-currents as it aimed its weapon at Illith, who had seen its approach and was hurriedly closing the gap between them, combat knife clutched in his fist. The creature twisted as a timely shot from Arteryx shredded its left wing, and it seemed to stutter in the air, losing its momentum.
Vile beast!
Illith saw his opportunity and swept in, soaring past the raptor, opening its throat with the edge of his blade as he passed, leaving a ribbon of dark blood trailing in his wake. Close by, Mordrin and the other raptor spiraled through the air, both struggling for dominance. The raptor leaned in, baring its fangs, intent on opening Mordrin's throat, before he flung his head back, smashing its nose across its face. It lurched backwards, temporarily loosening its grip, and Mordrin twisted, bringing his sword around in a sweeping arc. The sword bit deep, cleaving the creature between the neck and shoulder, parting flesh, muscle, and bone. The raptor's wings shuddered and twitched, and then its grip finally relented, and it slid away from Mordrin, slipping into an awkward downward spiral before being caught in the mag train's wake and pulled swiftly out of sight. Mordrin, too, was tumbling, falling towards the mag train's roof, unable to right himself in order to ignite his jump pack.
Mordrin!
Above, Illith had dipped into a steep dive, but even with the jump pack to assist him, the crosswinds made it unlikely he'd be able to reach the Knight of the Raven in time. With seconds to spare before his impending collision, Mordrin twisted, arching his back and raising his sword. With an almighty effort, Mordrin plunged the blade downwards as he closed on the mag train's roof, spearing the sheet metal to the hilt. He collided with the side of the train, rebounding viciously. His hands, however, remained firmly affixed to the hilt of his sword, and he used it as an anchor, clinging on as the extreme force of the train's slipstream buffeted his body. Illith thudded to the roof by the jutting hilt of the sword. He dropped to one knee, clasping Mordrin by the vambrace, and with a groan of effort, hauled him up onto the train roof beside him.
Right on time, brother. Come, there is cover below. And Mordrin, I do not forget your sword.
Our unconscious gestures, our mannerisms, our demeanor,
They speak volumes about us, Quell. So it is that I see you reach once again for the wound at your neck, and know that it troubles you. Yet you are a Space Marine, of the Raven Guard, and the wound itself is but a scratch. So the gesture speaks of something deeper, something more profound.
Forgive me, Chapter Master. I meant not to distract from my report.
Not at all, Quell. I would know what is on your mind.
It is nothing. An irritation.
Come now, Quell. Speak you not of fear?
Fear? I do not recognize the word.
No, and you were trained well. But fear runs deep and carves unassailable channels through the soul. You, Quell, fear corruption. You worry that the festering wound upon your flesh might somehow come to represent your own inadequacy. That the enemy has marked you, and through that mark, they might prey upon the weakness in your hearts. You fear my judgment. You fear failure. And that fear in its ignorance moves you ever closer to the precipice of your own downfall.
No, Chapter Master. These words do not mirror my thought. I remain true. I despise the heretic. Fear has no place in my soul. As you say, the wound is a mere trifle. I shall not allow myself to be further distracted by it.
Good. Then pray continue.
As you command.
The next carriage contained what was left of a small force of guardsmen, who were taking pot shots through the shattered viewports with their lasguns at a number of circling raptors. There were only six of them left, four men and two women, although the corpses of at least 14 others lay around them where they had fallen. To their credit, two raptors lay dead amongst them, suggesting a battle had already taken place at closer quarters. The human corpses were already beginning to fester with unnatural decay, although the living appeared to have so far resisted the virulent plague. We remained in the shadows, unseen and unnoticed.
We must assist the mortals.
Aye. I would cleave more of those abominations before the day is through.
We can do little for the mortals now. They hold the raptors at bay, at least temporarily. This foul plague consumes the mag train from within. We must locate the interrogator before he too is lost. Brother, the traitor's purpose is not yet clear. Surely we cannot tolerate them to live. And yet the Chapter Master was ill at ease. Have you ever seen him such? The content of that message troubles him. We cannot fail in our duty.
Is it not our duty to smite the harbingers of treachery when we find them?
Mordron is right. We cannot pass without offering our support. We stand and fight.
Who is in command here?
The six guardsmen turned to stare at Illith, who had suddenly appeared, phantom-like, behind them. The rest of us followed suit, drawing equally astounded and terrified gazes. One guardsman dropped to his knees, lowering his eyes. Slowly, a woman raised her hand in a salute.
Our sergeant is dead, my lord, but I am Amarin Leth, and I have assumed command.
Then allow us to lend you our strength.
The Emperor protects, my lord.
Sir, they're circling around for another attack!
Stay on them, Corporal. Remember to aim for their wings!
Mordron, Quell, protect the right flank. Arterix and I shall support the left.
We took our positions at the viewing ports, beside the humans, scanning the skies, still swirling with the dust of the mag train's passage.
I see one! There!
The raptor dipped to the left to avoid the strafing fire, drawing in its wings and dipping into a steep dive, heading directly for the train.
It's coming!
I held my aim, waiting as the raptor swept closer. Closer. The bolter round shredded the creature's right wing, causing it to twist and enter into an uncontrollable spiral, still caught in its headlong dive towards the train and unable to slow its momentum. It was coming right for the viewing port to my left, exactly where I'd intended. With a sudden, booming explosion, the entire side of the carriage crumpled, superheated fragments of adamantium tumbling away in the mag train's wake. The result, of a crack grenade. Mordrin stepped forward, planting his feet in the wreckage, swinging his blade around in a wide, sweeping motion from the hip. The raptor screeched, unable to alter its trajectory, recognizing too late that its death was now inevitable. Mordrin's blade sung, and its head rolled, tumbling away into the dust. Mordrin kicked the rest of the corpse from the carriage before turning to the rest of us.
Behind you, brother!
I turned to see one of the raptors bursting through a viewport on the other side of the carriage, a dead guardsman hanging in shreds from its claws. It grinned wickedly, dipping its head as it dropped down into the carriage. I raised my bolter just as lasgun fire flashed, hot and searing, and the creature's head seemed to melt, filling the carriage with the stench of roasted meat. The raptor collapsed into a ragged heap. I turned to see Amarin Leth holding her weapon.
Thank you for your assistance.
I inclined my head in acknowledgement. To my left, Illith and Arteryx were just disposing of the third raptor, obliterating it at close range with bolt rounds.
It is done.
For now.
Aye. You spoke earlier of purpose, Arteryx. Their tactics here make little sense, unless they mean simply to slow us down.
You believe they have split their forces?
It is the only logical explanation. They hamper us while they seek their prize.
The message, perhaps.
Then we must remain focused on our mission. We must seek the interrogator.
We have somewhat lost the element of surprise.
Aye, but we remain Shadow Masters. Our path is clear. Amarin Leth, there may yet be more of these foul creatures aboard this train.
The woman glanced at her remaining soldiers, all four of them. There was pride in her eyes.
Aye, sir. We shall remain here, and vigilant.
May the Emperor guide your hand.
We ghosted through the ruins of four further carriages, melding with the shadows. As we moved, we became one with the darkness, a passing breath, deadly and unseen. We emerged from cover only to slip our blades into the throats of two further raptors, found lurking in the darkening spaces between carriages. Each of the carriages had been entirely given over to the corrosive effects of the Dark God's plague. Corpses twitched and erupted, spilling forth writhing masses of maggots, or else buzzing clouds of insects that fed upon the festering remains, gorging on the unnatural decay.
Whatever the traitors seek, their pox spreads unfettered through the mortals.
Their filth pollutes all that it touches. If one of the hive cities were to become infected with such malodorous horrors, Denethron itself would have to be purged.
The mag train is already lost. Once our mission is complete, it shall be destroyed. There can be no survivors. The taint is all-consuming.
Hold!
Ahead of me, Arteryx slid to rest, maintaining his cover amongst the flickering shadows. There, in the carriage before us, was a raptor. It stood before one of the walls, its head cocked curiously to one side, peering at some barely distinct markings that had been etched into the paint. I watched it for a moment as it grinned in satisfaction, pus dribbling from the corner of its mouth. It leaned in closer, sniffing at the wall, as if sensing something amongst the sigils. I slid forward, my breath stilled. I could sense my brothers watching from the shadows. I inched around behind the creature. And then, with one swift movement, reached around and opened its throat, spilling hot blood down the front of its armor. It sighed its last burbling breath before I dropped it to a heap on the floor. Beside me, Illith folded out of the darkness.
See here, on the wall.
Sigils. Their form is primitive, but their complexity cannot be mistaken. I've seen such markings before.
This is what they seek. Whatever created these marks has drawn the traitors here.
Then there is more aboard this mag train than an interrogator with a message.
Not necessarily.
If word of the message has got out, there are those who would destroy worlds to obtain something so valuable to Master Shrine. Might our enemies seek to use it against us?
Aye.
Then our mission has changed.
We must retrieve this message and destroy all aboard this mag train who might be aware of its existence.
Agreed.
Illith gestured for us to move out. Once again, we melded with the shadows, and the carriages became a blur of motion as we continued with our hunt in silence. If there had been any lingering doubt that the traitors sought to slow our progress, the wreckage of the adjoining carriage dispelled them. Here, the architects of disease had gone to work, seeding the corpses of the passengers with some rare and potent poison that had caused their distended bodies to bloom like flowering plants to divulge their foul spores.
Wait! The air here is polluted, thick with spores. See how they corrode our armor.
Illith proffered his wrist, and despite having only ventured into the carriage a few moments earlier, there was already evidence of spores gathering around the seals of his vambrace. Where they had clumped, the armor had taken on the appearance of verdigris copper, mottled and corroded, as if slowly being consumed.
I feel their nauseating effect. They permeate our defenses, attempting to weaken our bodies.
And our resolve. They infest even our helms. Our ventilation systems will be of little use here.
It is clear the enemy intends to slow us down. The corpses have been arranged in such a way as to hinder us, to force us to remain in this wretched, fetid atmosphere.
Aye, but little do they know us.
My wound. These demonic spores infest it, seeking ways to corrupt my blood.
Then we seek a different path.
A different path?
Aye. If we cannot go through, we go over.
Black and white, and life and death, and pain and pleasure, and creeping, creeping, creeping! Monstrous things with blackened eyes!
Oh, I do wish you would be quiet.
From the shadows they shall come. Silent and bearing only death. Shh, shh.
They are coming for us now.
Wheels and wheels, life and death, the turning hands against the darkness.
Oh, very profound. I had rather hoped to take my time over this, but these fools have forced my hand. My hand? I see my wordplay is somewhat lost on you. Never mind. Now, what's in my little box? Ah! Now, these concoctions are very special indeed. They should help to spill your dreams. Are you ready?
They're watching! Can see it all! They're there, even when you know they're not!
I shall have to take that as a yes. There, nothing like a little pain to liven up the synapses. Now, be swift. For momentarily, I must take my leave.
We hauled ourselves up through a hole in the roof, grateful for the sudden rush of air, which swiftly banished all trace of the foul miasma below. Up here, the resistance that resulted from the train's motion caused every movement to feel as if I were wading through water. To either side of us, the desert sand stirred in the wake of the massive vehicle, billowing up in swirling clouds that obscured much of the horizon from view. The shadows of distant hive cities loomed large and bleak in the distance.
Over here! One of the raptors!
The creature was freshly dead, pinned to the carriage roof by its own rusty blade. Its wings flapped ambivalently in the wind, its head lolling loosely to one side. One eye was still open, staring, The other had been roughly gouged out, leaving a slick trail of blood and ichor. Like its sickening kin, it was skeletal and emaciated, covered in papery skin. Illith gave a short, sharp nod and beckoned for us to continue.
Brothers, watch the skies!
I turned to see two of the creatures emerging from the dust clouds to our right. I swung my bolter in their direction and unleashed a hail of shells, steadying myself against the motion of the train.
Concentrate fire on the wings! Bring them down, now!
One of the creatures pitched forward as its head detonated, blood, brain matter and pus spraying into the air, following the attention of one of Illith's pistol shells. It seemed to hang for a moment, limp and dead, before being swept away by the gust. I swung about, loosing a three-round burst at its companion. The raptor's throat opened in a wet, yawning smile. Its head rocked back, blood spurting from the wound, and then came free, disappearing into the swirling dust. The body dropped, thudding against the side of the train, before careening off towards the desert below.
There's another one! Behind us! Odorix!
I twisted in time to see a third raptor burst out of the dust cloud to spear Odorix through the chest with its rusted blade. He spasmed, dropping to one knee, his face twisted in pain. Defiant to the last, Odorix staggered to his feet, lashing out at the creature with his combat knife. It staggered, reeling from a gash across its jaw, and then came on again, talons flashing. Behind the creature, Mordrin burst from the shadows, swinging his sword in a wide arc.
For Cordax!
His sword swept through the pestilent flesh of the creature, bisecting it at the waist. Its corpse crumpled to the roof, and then slid silently off into the dust, leaving a slick trail of stinking fluids. Slowly, Odorix rose to his feet, still steady despite the motion of the train. The creature's weapon still jutted from his back.
You cleave better than you fly, brother. Now, get this foul blade out of my chest.
As you wish, brother.
Mordrin grinned. He sheathed his own blade before reaching for the grip of the raptor's weapon. His fist closed around the handle. With a single, sudden tug, he wrenched it free. He tossed it over the side of the train, following in the wake of its dead owner. Odorix turned to Illith. He wrenched his helm from his head and spat blood. His jump pack was sparking, its machine parts badly damaged.
I'm going to need a new chest plate.
The adjoining vestibule chamber, a small cubic space that provided access between carriages, proved to be inhabited.
I sense movement, brothers. Another raptor, mimicking human form.
In the half-light, the creature had its back to us, hunched forward as before, emaciated and withered. I gripped my combat knife and slid forward, ready to dispatch it.
The shadows move!
The creature spun suddenly, turning its face to